It's Monday, April 27th. I'm in Berlin. I'm going to read to you from my daily notebook, fragments after the idea, the line of the hand throws the mind out of the body, or after the idea. Some kinds of writing are indefensible, and some kinds of writing are the only thing to make you shift state. The journaling time that I'll read from begins at the end of February and runs to now. I'm reading non-sequentially, here and there, to make a kind of cut-up of this period. This notebook practice represents a release of thought and feeling contrary to the perceived control or fixity of writing. It's flighty. The motion of writing longhand is like another way of running. But the connection from hand to gut or hand to core is also grounding. It's my place. It earths me. So an exercise in opening up that place. I'm going to try to record live without any edits. I'm beginning with an idea from Trinh Thi Minh Ha, the Vietnamese artist, writer and filmmaker, in her book Woman, Native Other, about the mind-body. She writes, "One example that comes to mind are the procedures which in Asia postulate not one, not two, but three centres in the human being. The intellectual, the path, the emotional, the oath, and the vital, the kath. The martial arts concentrate on developing awareness of the latter, which they call the tanchen, or the hara. This centre, located below the navel, radiates life. It directs vital movement and allows one to relate to the world with instinctual immediacy." This makes me think of a line I wrote some months ago, a resolution to keep moving according to feeling rather than according to the mind out that follows. And Trinh Thi Minh Ha links this centre, this creative core below the navel, with the mode of writing she is putting forward. This writing aims to bring a new awareness of life into previously forgotten, silenced, or deadened areas of the body. Consciousness here is not the result of an accumulation of knowledge and experience, but the term of an ongoing, unsettling process. So this is not a binary of mind and body or a binary of fight and flight. Rather, it's an attunement to the body that seems to be a core of courage. The archer stands on warrior's legs and is poised with a bow. At the end of the bow, the arrow tip is dipped in ink. The archer is steady in weight, powerful but also striving. Their arrow imagines beyond their position. It aims something forward in time, to a future. For now, we are piercing our gaze on where we would like the arrow to go, but we do not shoot. Holding, retaining, we will fire the arrow in time. Now is for the preparations. Time to mourn things within and preceding the present catastrophe. Every night, more deeply. These masks I'm trying to redistribute. In the chest area, a kind of jealousy, a kind of self-destruction. In the playroom, some thoughts of abandonment. Blessed be the home space, a historical shift which is different than everything they say about the transference has resolved. Affected by my anxiety, but at the same time, I choose living with uncertainty or ambiguity and the prerogatives of intergenerational care, the social purpose of a woman called to fix the situation, but I fear it is coldly calculated. Not quite enough engagement in life, she replied kindly. No shaking hands, breathed without our protocols, a suppression of anger rising as appetite affects upside down against possessive pronouns or not in possession of myself. The attendant strategies for coping go down through it, more feelings, more promise, more challenging, and I cry finally a bit alone. With the somatic prerogatives of the letter, writing for the consolidation of a story, a positive reinforcement in the unleashing of a dark cave for whom I'm truly grateful, for which I'm truly grateful. Everything changing very fast. A class of somatic yoga begun with diaphragmatic breathing. You place your hands on the side of your ribs and focus first on expanding the breath there, a lateral movement. Then you place your hands on your belly and imagine the diaphragm moving down, breathing deep there. Then you place one hand on the rib side and one on the belly and focus for more breaths, first on the lateral, then on the low and the deep, and repeat, repeat. As I settled into this exercise, I was distressed at first to feel nothing in this front body where my lungs and heart sit. And then, upon trying to make present this nothing, to fill this front space with air, the sensation was tight, constricted. The exercise returned life and spirit to this space that had been a vacant area. Porousness of physical intelligence. I remember this anti-family oxygen mask purgatory. I'm thinking of the way the crowds parted, dispersed, and gave or didn't give the performers space. Quote from Nisha Ramaya, this pause may be imagined as a break before falling. Akin to the pause, I think, is the idea of holding one's breath, or to the space between breaths, and so a thought prayer for all those short of breaths. Exhaustion, writes Nisha, is a drawing out or forth of air, of essence. I would like to see him once more against innocence. Lonely feeling, but the silent treatment of womb uniting anxiety attendant progress. In the absence of contact, noticing hands, the most vulnerable revealing or telling part of the human. There are many ways to pray without hands or without God. In therapy, through or after the sadness, I'm thinking of purgatory. Fanny Howe writes that purgatory consists of a sequence of difficult movements that spring from a yearning for liberation from those movements. Sounds like how the psyche functions. Commitment to communication against the odds, not a sign but a crucial object, surreptitious somehow. A death fear, a death draw, speaking from a symptom, not from a future that in some strange incarnation does come. Comforting bowl of longing, old feelings, old world ideas, which I grew up in. This is not a narrative of hopeful repair. Now is for the preparations.